This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
Hey, everybody, it's your boy Daniel Dixon, and I wanted to welcome you to the first episode of the second season of the Color of Money podcast. I personally wanted to thank all you all for sticking with us and showing us an incredible amount of love and support through the first season of the Color of Money podcast. Now, we have some incredible conversations coming up. We've changed some lives, and we're really looking forward to changing even more lives. And let's jump right in. The need to evolve and do things differently and understand that your needs are changing as a human, your needs are changing as a father, as a wife, as a partner. These are business principles that also flow into personal life.
Welcome to the Color of Money podcast. You are tuned in for another fantastic episode where we are going to help you earn more, learn more, and build wealth. Well, first of all, I'm Julie Lachey, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Emmerick Peace and Daniel Dixon. And we're going to do a little something different today. I've been picking on Daniel because I told him he's become teacher's pet recently. Daniel Dixon's been hanging out with Gary Keller, GK we call him, recently and having some interactions and some time spent. And I thought, since Emmerick and I weren't invited, that maybe Daniel could fill us in on some things that he learned. And also maybe fill you all in too. So today's episode, we're going to call it Top 5 Things Daniel Learned from GK, Gary Keller. And FYI, if you are tuning in and you're like, who is Gary Keller? Most influential man in real estate in the world, founder of Keller Williams Realty, and so many other things. Daniel, as I mentioned, has been really, I suppose we could say, mentored recently by Gary Keller. So Daniel, tell us a little bit about why you've been spending so much time. And then we're going to hear from you really on some things that you learned that you could share with all of us.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to spend some time with him and get to know Gary a little bit better. And it's fascinating to me how he makes the complex so simple, and the way he explains things, the way he understands things. And it's been definitely a blessing to learn from him and get to know him a little bit better. I guess there's also that sense of uneasiness when you're talking to a billionaire, right? Like, am I smart enough? Can I convey my message clear enough with a man of his stature? And it's really interesting being in rooms with just him and talking through some of the things that he sees and how much of a visionary that he is. And it's really a cool experience. Just big visions, understanding how he built his business and some of the principles that we're taking back into our business. As everybody knows, in real estate, we've had some of the toughest times that we've ever experienced in this business. And having to go back to the drawing board and deal with this pain and still show up as a leader to the people in your world that you lead and that you drive, it's a challenging thing to do. And I know that not only us in real estate have been challenged, but Gary's been challenged with this lawsuit and a lot of the litigious society that we're in with everyone trying to get to the people with the money. I hope that the clouds are parting and the sun's coming back out and we can start celebrating some wins here again soon, you know?
So start at the top, Daniel. If we were to put it in order of 1 through 5, start at the very top. What would the first thing you'd like to share with us be about what you learned under his mentorship and leadership?
Well, one of the things that we were leaning into was mastering leverage and understanding that when you think about building a big business, you can only go so far on your own. And you need people to leverage your time to be able to lead the people who then go lead people. And so going back to his time when he was starting to scale and grow the company, and his mindset was about putting guardrails on his time. He was like, Daniel, I'd no longer do anything that I'm not good at. I was like, wow, I do a lot of things that I'm not good at right now. I need to make some of those changes. But mastering leverage allows you to continue to go bigger, harder, and faster. And we're continuing to succeed and grow as an organization. And it's through leverage and it's through leaders and it's through leading others who can then go lead other people to continue to grow and expand your business. One of the things that he said that he did not waver on was time spent with family. and having that be a priority. And how much of us business owners, we get so inundated with asks and requests as we're trying to grow our business, where our kids or our spouses take a back seat, and now we're only focusing on growing and expanding the business. And putting those guardrails around the things that matter most are incredibly important, that then create the hierarchy of importance in your world that allow you to still grow your business and also still do what matters most, which is family.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I got this thing on my wall. I'm not sure where it came from. It says, no amount of success in the world can compensate for failure at home.
I know that's right.
Say that again.
No amount of success can compensate for failure in the home.
That's good.
That's deep. Yeah, that's deep. That's so good. The first one was mastering leverage. What's the second thing you would say you learned, Daniel?
So this one was a really big one for me. As I've, over the last decade, I've built everything. I have incredible people inside my world. So when I say I did it on my own, I don't say it like I didn't have leverage and people who have helped me build. But there's a lot of things that I went and built a mortgage company, and we went and built a mega team, and we went to build an investment business. And a lot of the things, I never looked at partnerships as a positive. I looked at partnerships as a problem. And in spending time with Gary, everything that he owns is in partnership. And so getting his message and understanding that the ability to combine and conquer, the ability to leverage that time with another partner to then go grow something together can allow you to not shoulder all the financial stress, all the mental stress, all the chaos with those businesses and allow other people to win alongside with you. And that was a big aha for me because I'm like, oh my goodness, I've never considered partnerships. I don't know how to get out of partnerships and it's going to be messy. And you hear about the divorces and how bad it is. And to think that everything that he owns, the brokerage, his investments, a lot of the things are through partnerships was a real eye-opening moment on the next 10 years that I build. I want to go build with others. I don't want to go do this thing on my own. I want to go partner with other people.
It's a little bit like our Y4C2Ts, right? Success results through others. But I concur, Daniel. I had a partnership once. I went on a whole era of no new friends. Like, no, no new friends. I'll do it by myself. Thank you very much. But there's a lot to be said about success results through others and partnering, particularly when I've always viewed it, I guess, as like a team project at school. You know, I hate team projects. Somebody's always doing nothing. You're always doing most of it, you know? And so I viewed partnerships like that. But I think maybe it's if you really take the time to vet who you're doing business with. We have a career visioning process that maybe you could use to vet who you would be doing business with and in partnership with. I have a venture that I'm going on now and I can't do it by myself. I will need other partners. And I've been using the career visioning process to vet the other partners. And I realized just yesterday, one of the people that I thought was for sure going into it, I was like, oh, for sure, this is the person. But through the career visioning process and the life story, I was like, this is absolutely not my person for this. So I think maybe if we take more time vetting who we're in business with, the partnerships become incredibly instrumental. Instead of thinking about them like, this is going to be a messy breakup, or this is the team project of high school I hated. You know, you actually think that I need these people to succeed and go to the next level.
And the key with that one is managing expectations. Managing expectations and everybody clearly understand their roles. Even when you believe that you vetted the right person, and we can be in business with the right person when we don't have the right understanding about the roles and we don't have the ability to manage expectations properly, it may not be that it's not the right person. We just didn't manage expectations properly. And I have been in partnership analysis paralysis for a few years. I'm just telling you, I had a couple things happen to me in partnerships and I said, I'm not doing this no more.
And no new friends.
I'm trying to tell you.
And those are all the stories we hear, all the bad ones, right? Not the partnerships that work.
Now I got one that works now. I have one that's been working for 27 years.
Yeah.
But again, I manage expectations. The ones that where we did not manage expectations properly, those are the ones that break down.
Well, I think the thing that's always concerned me about partnerships is just like Julia said, there's going to be somebody doing all the heavy lifting and sharing half of the profits. And I'm like, that's difficult for me. What I've learned through this and a lot of the reflection that I've had is just my own insecurity on being able to be in partnership and manage those expectations and get very clear understanding of who's doing what and what are those measurables exactly versus, all right, I'll just, Daniel will just figure it out later.
Exactly.
Now, the third thing, this one resonated a ton with me. Gary said, I don't plan on being the richest person ever. I want to make sure that I sleep the best at night. And I'm like, what do you mean? And so we were talking about these last 2 years have been very, very difficult for me, my family, our businesses, a lot of the things. And one of the challenges we had is we weren't focusing enough on net cash flow. We were focusing a lot on net worth. And when money's tied up, your balance sheet looks good, but the cash flow in and the cash flow out doesn't hit like it used to. And one of the things that Gary was talking about is he pays for everything in cash. And his goal with that is, I want to make sure that I can sleep well at night, no matter what economy that we're in, no matter what's happening externally in the world, because it's a cash flow game that's being played, not a net worth game. When you think about owning assets and then leveraging assets to go buy more assets, and you look up and you're highly leveraged on a lot of these things, your net worth looks great. You own 15, 20, 30, 50 houses, but they're all highly leveraged and cash flow is tight. You're one recession away from completely imploding, which happened to so many people in 08 and 09. I've been aware that I was playing the wrong game and need to focus on cash flow more. But the thought of being able to go to bed and rest easy and not have that pit in your stomach of debt and paying bills on time and all the rest of those things was an absolute game-changing moment inside of my brain on utilizing my real estate businesses to create the cash flow to then go invest to create more cash flow and get out of that rat race.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more. Well, let me ask you a question, though, because right now it's hard for people to find investments that cash flow, you know, with the interest rates being so high, unless you have cash, right? Unless you already have enough cash to invest in something. How do you find cash flow investments right now in an environment where the interest rates are so high? Insurance is so high. Insurance on some of my properties, the HOAs have went up so high. I can't wait to get rid of these things. It doesn't even make sense to hold them anymore. So how do you find something that cash flows in an environment like this?
I hate HOAs through and through. They only go up. They don't do, like, I hate HOAs. So definitely sell those as soon as possible. And I can't say that I figured it out yet. I think I'm on this journey of uncovering kind of the path that we're going on. But there's two areas that we're really focusing on a ton right now. So we're selling a lot of our single family investments and we're moving the money into multifamily. And so I have one quadplex that I own down in Colorado Springs that is the quietest investment that cash flows more than the majority of all my other single family homes. It's simple, it's easy, rents are controlled, it's totally fine. And so when you think about a single family home and the problem we have with affordability is you get to a certain point where the home value that's increasing does not match the amount of rent you can get for that asset. And so in our market, it's around four, like especially with interest rates now, probably around 350 to 400,000. You're not renting houses for $3,500, $3,800, $4,500 a month in rent.
Right.
But you can rent four units for $1,100 a piece and have $4,500 a month in cash flow. So that's a big thing that we're changing in our world right now. And then continuing to level up and going, okay, well, we have four units. I think total we own like 15 units right now, 15 doors. So now how can we take those 15 and then just get out of the single families and turn one door into another four or five doors?
I like that idea a lot. That's exactly what I'm going to do when I can get rid of this HOA.
So what I hear you saying, Daniel, is one roof, four doors, one roof 10 doors.
Correct.
One roof, five doors. So, yeah. And I've heard that before. It's better to have one roof and numerous doors than numerous doors with numerous roofs, because it comes back to maintenance. If it's only one roof, then you're only doing maintenance on one roof. If you have 10 roofs, you're doing maintenance on 10 roofs in 10 different locations under 10 different situations.
10 homeowners 10 insurance policies.
I was all of that. 10 different everything. Yeah. 10 different tenants. Yeah. 10 different. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you think about a single family home and you have it's vacant and the lease ends, you have no revenue coming in on that asset and you're just literally paying the mortgage every month. versus when you have a triplex or a quadplex, a 3 or 4 unit building, one tenant moves out, you still have revenue coming in to pay the mortgage. So you may not be cash flowing a ton, but you're not losing money every month that we see in these single family investments.
Good point. Good point. So then what would you say is number 4? What's the 4th thing you learned?
What got you here won't get you there. And when we have this concept of the people who got you to the level of success that you currently have are not necessarily going to be the people that take you to the next level of success that you want. The play we used to run in 2020 is not the same play that we're running now in 2024. The model that used to work 10 years ago is not the model that's working today. Our industry is changing so rapidly that we are forced to continue to evolve and continue to grow and change because we see a lot of the old plays that we used to do that aren't working so much for this industry anymore. And so the area where we were talking about this, it wasn't even actually in business. We were talking about this with relationships and with marriage even. My wife and I are celebrating 20 years together this year, and the next 20 are going to be very different than the last 20.
Amen.
Right? And the need to evolve and do things differently and understand that your needs are changing as a human, your needs are changing as a father, as a wife, as a partner, and so on, that these are business principles that also flow into personal life. And it was fascinating to me to think about that, because this is the season we're in my personal life, and the season we're in our business life, even some of my friendships. A lot of things are changing. Maybe it's a midlife crisis because I'm turning 40 next year. I don't know what it is, but there's some real reflection that's happening inside of my world that's flipping some things upside down.
There's seasons to everything. In everything, there's seasons. There's seasons in life. There's seasons in business. And some people get fixated on the past season of the yesteryear. Well, the way we used to do business was, the way we used to do business is, this has worked for us for 30 years. And they have an inability to see that that was 30 years ago. What are we going to do for the next 20 years? And so I like that. Gary should share that with some other people. That we're, you know, we can't do what we used to do. We got to do what's new in the new season. This is a new season. It's a new real estate industry. It's a new season in life.
I just did a post about 3 days ago, and I've said to Emmerich 3.0. I said I literally have to write a new plan for my life at 60 and beyond. Because 60 and beyond is different than 60 and below. And I literally said that like 3 days ago in a post. And I have to write a new plan for what am I going to do at 60. And so that's real, Daniel.
I'm guessing, Emmerich, it's not going to be what you did at 50 or at 40 or at 30.
No, absolutely not. I'm going to take my things that I wasn't that successful at, the things that I was successful at, the things that I want to do. And I have to wrap all those things together to say, hey, here's the new plan for 60 and beyond. But I'm just being transparent. Even with my health, I can't go to the gym. I'm not doing the same things I did at 50 in the gym that I'm doing at 60 in the gym. Your body don't respond the same way. Your mind don't respond the same way.
Don't hurt yourself, Unc. Yeah.
And it's different. There you go. It's different. Because, yeah, you will hurt yourself. Absolutely. You're just at a different place, Daniel. And that's what I love that. So, yeah, take a look at that 40 and rewrite the thing. And there's some people that will not be in that journey in my life at 60 and beyond. They won't have the same position. They won't be able to get the same amount of time. I won't be investing the same amount of energy in that person, because what got me to 60 is not going to be the same thing. It's going to get me to 70 and 80. It's just not.
I love that very much. So Daniel, what's 5? What's the 5th thing you learned?
Well, the last piece of the evolution phase is there's still models that we can follow. And I think when you look at the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book and you think about the models that Gary's built for agents and, you know, market center owners, there's still models to follow that we can put the creativity and the evolution on top of the fundamental piece of how you manage finances, how you lead generate, how you show houses, how you sell houses. There's still models on how we can execute the plan with the creativity on top of it.
Foundationally, what you're doing, you're going to do it because everything that you do is built on foundation. You just have to make some fundamental changes in the way that you do those things.
I don't want to sound like a KW cliche, but it's, you know, how we say success leaves clues. So in some cases, there isn't any, although we're going to maybe do things differently going into the future, there are things that are just inevitably successful tactics and systems and models that people have used. So I think what I hear you saying, Daniel, is he's saying still follow the model. Is that the point of that?
Correct.
Bo said money has rules. The rules of money don't change. That's the foundation, right? Foundationally, those rules don't change. We just have to make fundamental adjustments on how we operate in our lives to maximize the opportunities around where we are and where we want to go.
Yeah. So Daniel, I'm going to recap what you said. You said one was mastering leverage, but actually in one, you said two things in one. You said mastering leverage, but you also said putting up guardrails so that you're doing what matters and spending time where it matters. And then the second thing you said was that partnerships. So contrary to our belief that we don't need any new friends, partnerships are in fact going to take us to the next level because everybody needs somebody to do business with. Success results through others. And then the third thing you said was about cash flow and not having debt and investing in things that are going to create cash flow. And that might mean having to get rid of some current investments that aren't and putting them into some vehicles that are. And then four, you said what got us here won't get us there. However, five, follow the model. So in a nutshell, if you were to summarize the five things you just recently learned from Gary, what would you call this book? If we were writing a book and these were chapters, what would you call this book?
I think it'd be something wrong, like just evolution and reflection. I've been doing a lot of reflection here lately and getting more information, looking at that last piece of what we said, like what got me to build a $100 million organization is not going to get me to continue to run the same place to keep me at a $100 million organization for my retail team. So there's a lot of going back to the drawing board almost and realizing what's the next phase of my marriage look like? What does the next phase of my business look like? What is the next phase of my mortgage company? Everything is kind of reflecting and going back to what are we building? What does it look like? And are we doing the things today that we're going to be doing in 3 or 4 years from now? Or do we need to kick some of these old bad habits?
As you approach that right point of maturity, you're seeing what that legacy can do for you a lot differently than you could before you had that gray in your beard.
There's been so many lessons learned over the last 2 years. I've been winning a lot since I became a real estate agent. And sometimes you need to take these losses or these failures as an opportunity to reimagine what you're building and where you're going. And so there's been a lot of reflection last couple of years. There's been a lot of humility. There's been a lot of just thought of what matters most. What matters most, be all end all, is my wife and my children, my family. And there's a lot more focused time in that bucket. And then everything else will take care of itself at some point.
I love that. I love that. That's the legacy part, Daniel. I just want you to know.
All right, you're right.
I'm smiling because I see your evolution happening right in front of my face, and I absolutely love it.
So, Daniel, if we were just to wrap up here, what would be the one thing you'd want to leave this audience with about your recent experience and the time that you've spent with Gary Keller and the mentorship and leadership that he's bestowed upon you? What would you say is the one thing you want to leave our listeners with today?
There's two pieces to that. The first piece is make sure that you reflect on where you came from, where you are today, and where you're going. And then the second piece is have no regrets. We can't continue to go where we want to go looking through the rearview mirror. Talking about Emmerich Post, he had a post the other day talking about you got to have amnesia. And I think a lot of us need to have amnesia in relationships, our businesses, because what got us here is not going to get us there. And so don't have regrets. Reflect on what's happening inside of your world. Imagine where you want to go and make sure that that is the North Star that we're continually working towards day in and day out.
Thank you so much, Daniel. And thank you all for tuning in to another fabulous episode on the Color of Money podcast. We will catch you next week. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.